Good evening. Good evening. Good evening. So, how's everybody doing tonight? All right.
Enjoying your beer.
I am on vacation. Come on. This
True,
is like the
true.
fifth beer I've had this week. So,
Ooh.
I know. So much beer. It might be the fifth beer, but I think it's like the seventh or eighth drink. So, if that
Gonna
helps,
say the fifth beer. I was like, that's like Todd's breakfast. That's
Thanks everybody who went to the bonus day at the warehouse. Don't forget we have another day in the 16th, 17th, 18th of August. It's our next dates. They're coming up. Make sure you check that out. Butler's having our anniversary sale. I think the second Saturday of August. I have to put it up on the website, but that's pretty much what I'm saying. Yeah. Other than that, there's really nothing going on unless you're going to a pre-release this weekend. So,
Well,
yeah.
there are other things going on. It's just not comic related. So it's,
Well, not
it's.
well, no, this weekend's always quiet because San Diego's this weekend, so everything blows up this weekend. So this whole weekend we're gonna have a lot of crazy stuff.
And
I
then
will
that.
say seeing the so I went to Deadpool this afternoon and seeing the Captain America trailer on a big screen. Yeah.
Much
Yeah.
better.
Also
Nice.
the Borderlands trailer actually kind of caught me too.
Yeah,
I was
I
like,
forgot they were doing that. That's
Borderlands?
crazy.
What? And like,
Yeah,
because
I
I
forgot about
completely
that.
forgot they were doing it as well. But it
Yeah.
actually turned out like the trailer looked okay.
Yeah.
I don't really think I'm gonna go see it, but because I'm not that big of a Borderlands fan.
Yeah.
But it looked okay.
I mean, I enjoy the game, but I'm not. The only game affiliated movie that I've seen, like other than what the Super Mario, I think everybody saw Super Mario Brothers.
I waited until I could see it at home, but I did see it. So,
But I have to do with Mortal Kombat. If it doesn't have Mortal Kombat, I could give two craps about it. It's like I'm
right.
glad that like they're putting more thought and effort into video game type franchises. It definitely beats the era of where Mortal Kombat 1 was the only viable movie anything with video games. The Super Mario Brothers movie, the live action movie was garbage.
Right.
Like there
Oh, but
was
I had
what
funny moments. Like the
it
dancing
was
in the elevator moment was like one of my
yeah there
favorite
was
scenes ever.
there were things about it I think you could pick like this, that, and the other, but it was definitely Hollywood took that and just went like,
Yeah.
we're doing our own thing with this. We're just using the characters. It's like, no, don't do
Yeah,
that.
right. Yeah, it was definitely like a weird it's definitely weird like when they adapt video games sometimes because like the Sonics I didn't really like mostly because I just didn't like the look of Sonic at all. I didn't really care for the Mario movie. Like it was fun, but it was n not like it wasn't as good as I hoped it would be. I think I
I
mostly
think,
just I mostly didn't like Jack Black as Koopa,
yeah,
so and that was my
I
big thing.
understand that's it's preferred actors and stuff. It's
Yeah, no, I
people
mean
didn't
it's
want
just the
Chris Pratt
way.
as Mario either. They
Yeah,
thought that
I
was
really
like the
was.
weirdest thing either.
Yeah. I think
But
the best part of that movie was Toad. So there you go.
although I did kind of like what is it? What was his Seth was Donkey Kong.
Oh, Seth Rogen. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that
Yeah,
was
he
pretty
made a
good
good
too.
Donkey
Yeah.
Kong. That fit him. I was like,
Yeah.
yeah,
The fact that they
I
did
see
the
that.
Donkey Kong song from Donkey Kong Country 2 was really
Yeah.
good. So,
Well, that I think that was the
anyway.
whole nostalgic feel there was that,
Right. Anyway, I will give a spoiler-free review of Deadpool at the end of this. Just to make you listen to our comic book reviews first. Also, just a shout out to our buddy Grant over at Comicsburg. He had his birthday yesterday. I went out for a couple drinks with him and Ange. And they are going to be one of our guest judges for Cosplay Karaoke next Wednesday at 7 o'clock at the Sly Fox and the Highline. Also, just note that there is no theme for it because it is Wheel of Death again. Which, Justin, I need you to dig out the small wheel. I think it's with all the con stuff. I think. But if you can dig that out for Monday, that'd be great.
Sure, John.
Thanks, buddy. So no theme, just come and hang out with us. Starts at 7. It's going to be a good time, as always. All right. I guess we can just go right into books, yeah? Because there's really nothing. Well,
I was going to say, this was a big week for books. Like,
oh, yeah.
Lots of new stuff.
I had a ton of books.
Yeah.
I'm
going to give honorable mention to a couple that I'm not reviewing, but I was like excited for this. They had Spawn Kills Every Spawn number one. And wow. I'm like, I chuckled and I had to grab it, and it's a riot. It's a riot. And the fourth book of the Wolverine Blood Hunt happened, which I may do a review next week if there's not enough books, but you know. I've been doing that review of that whole series, but yeah, there was so much. I was like, oh, I'll do some different routes this time. So I grabbed a few different ones this time. So, but I figure I'd give like the honorable mentions because there've been like, we haven't had a week like this in a while. So
yeah, this was a very, very large week. So I'm very, very curious to see how it ends up. So, All right. Start some reviews. Because that's what people are always here for, our reviews. Not to hear us randomly chat about things. Oh, look, you're first.
Oh, there we go. Okay, this was definitely piqued my curiosity. Because we heard that Keanu Reeves was back writing Berserk again. And this time he brought Jason Aaron with him. So I was like, I have to pick this up and read this thing. So this one is definitely, as you could tell, is Western theme, which is fine. You know, he's lived for centuries. So, you know, let's do some Western stuff with this. But it starts off with, this is in Kansas with the 1855. Okay. Yeah. And there's a little kid that borrows his dad's six shooter. And he goes over and you see this hanged body. And the kid starts shooting at you think he's going to shoot the body. And in actuality, he starts shooting at the hangman structure. And as he's doing that, you hear the body talk to the kid, and you're wondering if this is like what's going on, and of course it's you know, Berserk, you know, the cowboy as a cowboy, telling the kid, you know, hey, shoot at the rope, you know, while he's trying to shoot the rope, the kid's dad wakes up, yelling at him all drunk and everything. So he's going to, you know, beat the living crap out of him, this, that, and the other. The kid finally shoots the body down. He tells the kid, he's like, hey, you know, leave the gun. He's like, go run. I will give the gun back to your dad. And you see, he gives it back to the dad. He just jams the gun right in his face. Like, you see the whole, like, half the gun is inserted into his face. So that's a good,
interesting,
good way to start the book.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's, you know, you can't go wrong with this. You find a year later, it's 1856 in Missouri. There's a shooting during a wedding. The groom gets shot dead. The bride is clutching the groom, crying. The preacher that was presiding was running, trying to run away, and said, "Don't shoot me in the preacher." Well, they shoot him dead. they're about to take the bride when, surprise, surprise, look who comes, our hero cowboy here so much. And he pretty much just decimates the gang, you know, rescues the girl. We find out the girl was going to marry, her dad is like one of the richest men in the South, that she was not, she was going to marry a abolitionist, I believe it, you know, and, you know, down South, they hate abolitionists during that time period. So, you know, shocking, I know. You know, for those who don't know their history at the time here, please do your research. Google, you know, pre-Civil War era. This is where we're leading up to here. the girls, you know, he rescues the girl and tells her, you know, "I'll get you to safety. But I'm going to have to deal with, you know, your dad and everything." And he gets on this mission to, you know, kill the dad, or at least convince him to, you know, let her go. So he pretty much, you know, decimates his, like, army, because, you know, what are you going to do with a guy who, you know, is basically immortal? He sits there, and at this scene, he said that her father, the bride's father, is the only one left. And he's holding the Gatling gun right in his face. And he's like, "You're going to let your daughter go?" He's like, "If you don't," he's like, "I'm going to jam this and let it, the Gatling gun, rotate in your face." You know? So basically, it cuts to the bride running towards our hero here. And I'm going to use the term loosely hero.
He's like an anti-hero, right?
Anti-hero,
he's like a
yeah.
like a Deadpool type.
Deadpool Wolverine-esque.
Punisher-y, yeah.
Yes. But he says, "I let your dad live, but he's been warned that he will never bother you again." Well, the bride kind of gets upset and goes, "No, he has to die. Look what he had, you know, look what he did to my, you know, my fiance slash husband, you know, this is not fair, you know, he, look all the damage he's done. He has to pay for his crimes, this, that, and the other." And he's like, "Well, that's not what I was told you I was going to do. I told you I was going to use safety and make sure you are safe."
Yeah.
And then he goes about his way, leaving the bride crying. About, let's say, what, almost 10 years later, it's like 1864. The bride is now a nun, doing the Lord's work at a battlefield, blessing the dead, because during this time in 1864, it's during the Civil War. So this is a little, you see a body with a hole blown through him, and you see her going from injured person to injured person. They told her to leave that body there, this, that, and the other. The body gets up, and look who it is. It's you know who. And then it does a flashback to what actually happened, to what he did to the father. And he does end up killing the dad, just because the dad apparently laughed at him and going, "I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill her. And it's like, I'm going to kill everybody I can." You know, apparently the dad was unhinged person. So, you know, he's like, "Well, I guess I have no vote. just mowed him down with the Gatling gun. This was really good. Like, the variants are really good. Like, Berserker is definitely one of those Boom Studio anchor characters, anchor books. That's definitely, if they keep this going like this, like different stories, this is going to be one of those. We're going to remember this Keanu Reeves as being a heck of a comic book writer, as you know, in addition to him being a hell of an actor. So, I really enjoyed it. I like the variants. We have what? The Comic Hub variant that we have in stores right now. It's actually pretty slick. I chose another variant that I thought was pretty cool too. There's some really nice variants for the Berserker series. So, no, Boom doesn't disappoint when that happens. Let's see. What's a good Western breakfast here? I guess we'll go with a Western omelet,
Yeah, I was
but
waiting for it.
you know, Western omelet, but we're gonna get like a let's get a whiskey sour in there, you know, a little bit of alcohol there. You know, since they use the old fashioned tin cups, it works with that, you know. Or an old fashioned, I should say.
No,
Which is,
it'd be like
I
a it'd
think
be like a regular it'd be a straight whiskey back in that day, but just an entire bottle of Jack Daniels would be fine.
But I feel like that's appropriate considering like our heroes like preference for you know violence and everything. This just kind of fits the bill. Lots of meat though. Lots of Western jerky meat instead of just bacon, you know. We'll add that in there. We'll make a little rougher, you know. But in general, I'm excited to see where this goes. So I want to see how much, you know, if this is going to be a long series or is this going to be a limited series. I don't know.
Fair
I
enough.
enjoy it.
I imagine it'll be a mini one,
Yeah.
but we'll see. All right, my first book, Zatanna, Bring Down the House, number two. So this picks up right where the last one left off, Giant Demon. Except that it shows flashbacks of Zatara taking his daughter out into the woods to kind of fix the curse that she did, where she fucked up and the kid died, like the kid disappeared. Except she goes out there to do it, and her dad goes missing as well. Then you cut back to Vegas, where her and the other girl are fighting the demon. The girl's using magic. Zatanna's just kind of running around trying to flee, and just get out of there, and didn't want to die. But they end up kind of defeating the demon a little bit and going to the hell did they say that place was called? Palace of the Casters. So the other girl who happens to be a sorcerer like takes her to this. Because she's like, you really screwed up when you made your dad disappear. So they go to the Palace of the Casters, and there's a bunch of other sorcerers there, and they're all like, no, your dad was literally like the most important person we ever had. He was, the best of us. He was our revered teacher and the wisest of scholars. And she's like, okay, well, like, I don't have any magic. I don't know why you need me here. And they're like, but you do have it. Like, you need to learn how to use it. And they're like, she's like, no, I don't. I just do tricks, whatever. And that's most of the fight in it. Except when they go back to the condo, like she drops her back off the condo through like a cool magic door. There's carrots being cooked, and I don't know who the character is, but it's like a girl with And it's not White Rabbit, because this person I think is actually part rabbit. Is like waiting for her at the end. So it kind of continues on. The art's real good still. The story moved. It was fast. I really like the art in it. Like the fight scene with the demon was very, very well done. So I'm gonna give this. Oh man. I'm gonna give it like a breakfast sandwich on a muffin, like an English muffin. Like, because that's how it feels that it would be, like something like that. With like, I don't know, like a side dish of fruit and a small cup of orange juice. That's how I'm gonna roll this one. Overall, it was fun. I do like as a good Zatanna story. This seems like it's gonna build out to be a good Zatanna story. It's just this was one of those in-between issues where it's kind of like, all right, some action, let's move the plot a little bit. But it didn't really move the plot as much as I hoped it would. So I'm just curious to see how all this stuff plays out in next month's issue. But I'm very, very enjoying, I really enjoy this series a lot. So whoop.
There you go. Deadpool, Wolverine, WW3, number three. Figure I'd do this one just because it's Deadpool Wolverine weekend. Actually, I think it's trending on Twitter, if I'm not mistaken.
What,
Everybody
this book?
definitely, well, the Deadpool Wolverine weekend, as
Oh,
people are
yeah.
celebrating, yeah. And I did see a lot of the, well, I will wait for that during the talks about the movie. We last saw where Deadpool is supposedly totally dead, and Wolverine was fighting the I guess the shadow illusion, dream beast, whatever you want to call it. And he's holding his own for a little while. The beast does end up ripping the flesh off of Wolverine's one arm completely. Like, this is a really action heavy and bloody issue, guys. So again, the mature audiences only, preferably, which I think most of our audience is, but just letting you know. He continues to fight and claw at the creature. But as he's doing this, you're hearing a voice, and we figure out this is Wade, and he's talking to Logan. We don't know where, like how or where, like it's going on. And Wolverine just keeps on fighting and fighting, and Wade's getting louder and louder, telling him, "Hey, stop. Hey, what are you doing?" And then finally, you see Deadpool coming out of Logan and basically like stopping him from hurting innocent people, because apparently Wolverine was just in his berserker rage. So Deadpool stopped Wolverine from hurting some innocent couple in the middle of the woods. And then you see, like, of course, that the evil organization sends their little army to take care of the like everybody. So Wolverine, Deadpool, few like meshed together, fight against this army, and it is a funny scene watching, what is basically a fleshy like body on top of Wolverine fighting against, like having his back while Wolverine's fighting in the front. They obliterate this army between the two of them. Two slash one combo, I guess. That's how I have it written, is the dead Wolvie combo.
Right.
But the organization, like the two bad guys from this book, said something called the Kalo Kolabi operation is starting. So we'll have to see what this operation is. Finally, you at the end of the book, you see Wolverine and Deadpool separate this time because apparently they actually like separated. They did more mayhem against more of the army to destroy one of their strongholds. And that was basically the end of this issue. This was very gross, like very like because they get very detailed with how Wade is like attached to Wolverine. And then he makes the jokes going, Wolverine, I'm in you. I'm in you, Logan. Like literally, I'm in you. I'm just like,
Yeah.
okay, yeah. But it again, classic Wolverine Deadpool mayhem. Turned up a little bit of notch because I didn't see that coming where Wade regenerates from from inside Logan. That was interesting. I'm like, okay. But I'll give this a solid like eggs with cheese, maybe in a chimichanga. There we go.
There you go.
Chimichanga with eggs and cheese and bits of bacon and all good things like that. So this was definitely a interesting. I like where this book's going. It's a very fun ride. So
That's good.
yeah.
My next book is NYX number one. So this is the first NYX we've had in what? At least 10 years, right? Something
I'd
like
say
that.
15.
Maybe 15. Yeah. So it starts out with Miss Marvel, deciding she's gonna go to night college, like, and so she's like running across the city all embiggened, gets down to the thing, changes her clothes because she still has a secret identity, and runs into Sophie Cuckoo, who happens to also be going to this school at night classes. And they become kind of friends, whatever. Then they find out Prodigy's the guy teaching the class, and they're talking about how Krakoa was like this huge big deal. And Sophie's like, oh, what a load of bullshit. And then she says, is that really how you're going to be, Prodigy? You're going to write the gravestone before the body's even cold. Yeah. And it was very interesting. Like, they have a very interesting conversation about that. So then Sophie invites Kamala to go to a party at a club afterwards, and they go to this club, and anal the dude
Man.
who's not anal, who is basically like a lizard and can grow back his parts, is the bartender. So then these two guys try to pick a fight with him, and Miss Marvel and Sophie kind of have a fight back, but they're the ones that end up getting thrown out for some reason. So then they go off to do their thing, and Miss Marvel is stopped by Laura, aka X-23, aka Wolverine, which I find hilarious that her new outfit is Gucci. Because she has a giant Gucci belt on
Oh, geez.
it. It's got the big Gucci label. It's hilarious. I was like, what the
It's
hell?
a
So
weird costume.
I don't like the weird, like, the collar thing.
Yeah, that's
Like,
throwing me off there. That
yeah, that's
seems
the only
that's
part that I don't really like on it. It's like a biker jacket with like a really big collar. So anyway, she does that. Then Miss Marvel gets attacked by the Krakoan, which I will reveal who that is momentarily, who is basically like, yeah, the X-Men are the outlaws, Xavier's gone, you know, why are you worried about humans? So they have a fight. Miss Marvel goes home, or actually, sorry, Miss Marvel ends up having quesadillas with Sophie. They end up just kind of talking about being friends some more. So you know, Miss Marvel goes home. She finally goes to bed. And then you cut to the guys who are the bad guys of this book. So the Krakoan was Hellion from NYX, the original NYX. Empath is actually the main villain, and he's a mind controller guy. And then the rest of the Stepford Cuckoos are the other ones that are part of that. So I'm curious to see where this goes. This has a lot of like a good mix of now and like late 90s vibe, because it's got some of the original NYX guys in it, or some of the characters from like that era, but it also has like, you know, X20, updated X23 and Kamala Khan in it. So I'm gonna give this a not a burrito, like more like a breakfast fajita, like a smaller burrito, you know.
Yeah.
Like, we're not as
fancy
much
with our breakfasts,
not as much meat in it or eggs in it, but like, you know, enough to where like, you know, if you and someone were like, oh, I'm not real hungry, but they each, you know, got one instead of splitting a burrito, that's kind of where I'd put it, with like just a little bit of salsa and hot sauce, and that's really it. So but I enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun. So
all right, we got Masters of the Universe Revolution number 3. Yeah, this gets very interesting, guys. I'll tell you that much. And boy, that cover is too nice. Well, we see Keldor and Hordak doing like dreaming and communicating with Shadow Weaver, kind of being the mediator. And then Hordak like wakes up later in the later panels from the dreaming, going with someone with the words three paths. Apparently Keldor's he's having second thoughts is what this is basically showing, and he goes to travel to Eternos to find out that Miro is dead. King Miro is dead. According to the statue, he was lost at sea. Find out that Randor is now the king, and Randor is about to be a father. So it's like one of those culture shocks of, oh my god, you know, why, you know, he's getting to see all this, then he's not, you know, quite sure what's going, you know, how he's trying to handle this in a mental capacity. Meanwhile, Hordak is in Zalkron, where he confronts something. We don't see it. He goes into a cavern and he just sees this bright light, and this is all you see in the panel is like, ah, I should have known. And we're left kind of hanging. We find Keldor finds a path on Eternos. In Zalkron, he finds the same path in a dungeon, and he ends up finding King Miro chained up. And it turns out Shadow Weaver is the one who did this. We find out Shadow Weaver is Keldor's mother.
What?
Yes. Yes.
I don't know if I like that.
Well, turns out that apparently she's one of the first weavers of dreams. Took out her whole coven. Like this, she's completely lost her mind. She's just, wow. Like, we gotta kill King Miro, you gotta kill kill anybody who stands in our way. You deserve to be, powerful, this, that, and the other. You find out that Keldor is, she wants to be queen of the Horde, basically, is what
Oh,
she was
okay.
saying. So, Keldor starts, she's producing all these illusions. So, she illusions that Randor comes and starts fighting him. And it turns out that Randor is actually Hordak, because, why not? They're both confronting them. Skeletor, or Keldor is struggling with wanting to do, what his mom wants to do, but he also wants to do what his mentor Hordak wants him to do. So finally, he just between he can't make up his mind, so his mother starts like verbally abusing him, saying he's worthless and this, that, and the other. And Hordak's like, we got to take care of her now, because if we don't, it's th this is going to get worse, this, that, and the other. So finally, Hordak produces the Staff of Havoc, and they use the power of the Staff of Havoc to basically kill Shadow Weaver. So she's no longer an issue. And then Hordak is like, for you to become more powerful in who you truly are, you must harness the Havoc Staff. And then we see him grab the Havoc Staff. And this is at the end of the book. You see the birth of Skeletor as his face is melting as he's holding on to this
The Havoc
Havoc
Staff.
Staff. Yeah. So this was pretty good. A nice little twist there. I thought that was interesting, because we don't really know who Keldor's mother is, like, truly. So this was a nice little twist. I don't know if I
So
would use this, like, Shadow Weaver as that, but maybe they'll you see another Shadow Weaver down the line or something, a new
yeah,
Shadow
so
Weaver.
the general consensus was that Keldor and Randor are half brothers,
Yes.
and their dad was stuck on this island. Like he somehow like got shipwrecked on an island where the blue people lived
Yes.
and fell in love with a girl, got her pregnant. Left, didn't know she was pregnant, like got
Yeah.
rescued, and then that was where Keldor came from.
Yes.
I don't know that I like that Shadow Weaver might be his mom. That's just seems a
Well,
little weird.
but it gives that whole thing of his aptitude towards magic.
Yeah, I get that, but I don't know. Like, I guess it would be different if we knew what Shadow Weaver looked like without the hood on all the time. So, like, if
I
she
mean,
is
we
blue,
basically,
then.
which they show that she's blue in the comic here.
Oh.
We don't see it in She-Ra. We never really do. Well, I'm sure there are pictures if you look her up on the she. I think she does have blue hands, if I'm
Hold on,
not
I'm gonna look
mistaken,
real quick while you're.
or blue or purplish hands. You never see her face, but you see the hands. And of course, the Netflix She-Ra series, that was totally something different that did not, you know.
No, she's more like gray. Like she has like grayish green hands. Like, I guess they could be considered blue-ish.
Yeah.
They're like a
I liked it though. I
blue-green,
liked
like an
the
aqua almost.
yeah. I liked where they were getting it though. I give them props for trying to make every character count in the mythos.
Yeah, like
Like,
this definitely gave her like a boost.
yeah.
But like I just don't, I don't know. Like I don't know. 'Cause like in the newer ones she's more of a gray.
Yeah.
And then in the classic stuff she has like aqua green, almost
Yeah.
like a light green tint more than blue, but sure, I guess that'll work. So
Yeah. I mean, it's fine. It gives her more of a backstory than just, hey, this is a witch. You know, that can do things. You know,
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah.
you
So,
know.
all
'Cause
right.
you never really get that in the original series at all, you know, not
That's fair.
really. So
So, what breakfast are you giving this?
is there some breakfast with melting something? Well, here we'll go with
Just a big glass of Star Trek blue milk. Like, that's it.
oh no, thank you. Let's do like eggs. But with melted cheese on top. I love that.
Okay, that
Mel
works.
melted cheese on top, you know, sausage and bacon. Definitely very meaty with storytelling. Again, art is excellent in this. Like I said, the cover right here, this is that is beautiful. That is beautiful. Like that's awesome. So I'm not disappointed in the book, the series so far. So like you said, it, you know, you're trying to paste together mythos of stuff that nobody knows for sure, you know, so.
So, okay. Oop, my last book. Eternal Warriors, Last Ride of the Immortals from Valiant, number one. This book is just ridiculously fun. Sorry. The Eternal Warriors are Gilead, who is the best known as the Eternal Warrior, Ivar, who's known as the Time Walker, Arim, who is mostly known as Armstrong, and then Vexana, who is their sister. So this is very interesting because it's the first time that all four of them have had a story in a really long time in the Valiant universe. And it's mostly set in the Wild West. Like there's a like Doc Holliday's in here, all kinds of stuff. But they basically go they started off with like a gunfight and they all like just beat the shit out of all these dudes. And Wyatt Earp shows up. And then you cut to 2024 and it's where they're finally getting together for the first time in a long time. They even forgot their sister existed. And Ivar's like, we need to go back because there's something wrong. So they go back in time to the Wild West and they go into a saloon and they find out that there are guys that look just like them that are wanted, dead or alive. The problem is they don't remember being there. So, and the way Ivar's brain works, where he's connected to time, to the far away, he would remember all of human history and he is not. Like he's like, this never happened, so something's weird and wrong. So they kind of set out to like basically look for themselves, and they find this traveling circus who are practicing dark magic with Sandria Dark as the main sorceress, and it kind of gets into. Where like she's selling guns to people, and then her and Ivar kind of it looks like they're smoking opium, and then she's kind of like dancing naked, and then they're making out, and that's kind of where it ends. And then to be continued. So this was kind of cool because, like I said, you don't get to see all the immortals in one space a lot. In fact, I can't remember the last time that they were all together because, like, Eternal Warrior was with Unity and Archer and Armstrong were kind of doing their own things. And then Ivar's always off somewhere in time. And Vexana is like never around. So it's very cool to get them all together. It had a lot of, like everybody had their correct flavor to them. It's probably because it was written by Fred Van Lente. I really enjoy this. I recommend it for anyone who's interested in like Valiant Universe stuff. You don't really need to know anything about these guys that much because they kind of give you a brief explanation as you go. But it's a fun story with the whole family. And I will also give this a Western omelet, but I'm gonna give it some shitty warm wine as the drink because that's how Armstrong rolls.
Shitty word.
So that's the way I'm rolling that one. But it was good. It was good. I had fun. So, all
There you
right.
go.
Now we're going on to our segment we keep forgetting about in the last couple of weeks, where I read some deep thoughts with the deep Twitter tweets, or X tweets or X X's. I don't know. Whatever.
X, whatever.
So here we go. So you're ready for these? These are crazy.
Okay.
What if a person in the mirror is real and we are just the reflection? Deep thoughts with the deep. If a teacher tells you to believe in your dreams, then why won't they let us sleep in class? Deep thoughts with the deep. Why is it called a blowjob when you are sucking dick? Deep thoughts with the deep. Why is the show called The Boys if it's mostly men and women in it? Deep thoughts. What if rocks are really soft, but it tenses up when you touch them? Deep thoughts with the deep. Why do
Oh,
they
God.
call it DC Comics when the C in DC stands for comics? I always wondered that myself, because it's technically Detective Comics Comics. So because that's what the
Wow.
DC stands for. When you drink
Jeez.
from a cup, you empty it from the top. When you drink from a straw, you empty it from the bottom. Deep thoughts to deep.
Ooh.
People say money can't buy happiness. Then how do some things you buy make you happy? Deep thoughts to deep. this will be the last one because it's ridiculous. You can never be pickpocketed if you're always naked. Deep thoughts to the deep. So that was a good one. All right. Now we're gonna go into a spoiler-free Wolverine, Deadpool Wolverine, mostly because Justin's going to see it tomorrow.
And it's the week of, it's normally we don't do this, but you
And
know.
we still want everybody to go see it and make their own
Yeah.
opinions because, you
Yeah.
know, like we've talked about stuff on here where I've loved something that you've hated and you've loved something that I hated, and there's stuff that, you know, it's all over the place. But that's why things exist. That's how the world
Yeah.
works. Not
That's how you
everything is made
properly
for everybody.
debate.
Right, not everything is made for everybody. So before I get into the spoiler-free review, I will ask Justin, is there anything about this that you want to know the answer to as a, we'll do it in a form of a yes or no question?
Okay. The rumored cameos of certain actors that were affiliated that we have not been shown yet. Were they in there?
You're gonna have to be more descriptive of like as who you're asking for,
Oh, the
because there was a lot of
Wolverines,
people that
variant
were
Wolverines, because we did not see variant that
there
many variant
are
Wolverines.
one, two, three, four, five, six. There's at least seven different, very specific Wolverines.
Okay. Then that's all I need to know. That is
There were some that I did not expect that were fucking awesome. There is
okay.
also a guest actor that appears as a variant Wolverine. That's all I'll tell you about that one.
Okay.
I will tell you that some of the cameo people we talked about the other day do appear in the movie. Some don't, though.
Okay.
But that I was happily surprised with a couple. I was very not happy. Well, I wasn't not happy, but it was like, man, with the other ones. Overall, I enjoyed it. This movie, if everybody thought Logan was the, oh, finally we got a rated R Wolverine and he does like really cool shit. Nah, man. Nah. This movie
Man.
is a fucking bloodbath. My and there are a lot of cameos that make it work. I will just say that, and you and I have talked about my not real excitementally happy about the third Spider-Man movie because it was mostly
Yeah.
cameos and not a lot of plot.
Yeah.
Well, this one, the plot was slightly better, but it is a shitload more cameos. Like you can't go probably 5 minutes without a cameo.
Wow.
Yeah. Like a new cameo. Like,
Damn.
yeah. But it is very good. Dogpool is super cute. They do like
Yeah,
slow motion
we've
scenes
seen
where she's
them.
running. It's really, really cute. She's like licking his face. It's really cute.
I think we see that in the pre in one of the previews, I think.
So I will tell you that, and this is like a not a full spoiler, but it's because we know the Deadpool core is part of this movie.
Yeah.
But holy fuck, do they have a lot of them in there?
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that Kid Pool is played by his daughter.
Nice.
I
Well,
will,
we
you'll
know
have.
Lady Deadpool is probably played by his what Ryan Reynolds' wife, I think.
Well, I did read the credits, so I do know who is that. So,
Okay.
but I will tell, like, but I forgot to look for Kid Pool. I forgot who played Kid Pool. Like,
Okay.
dude, even Baby Pool, like
Did we get?
I'll be honest, the only Deadpool universe thing that wasn't in here that I really wanted was fucking Hellcow. Like,
Was Gwenpool in there? Did we see a Gwenpool?
you know what? I don't think so. Because she's not a
That's
Wade
like,
Wilson. She's
but
not a
that's
Will she's
kind of that's a little bit disappointing because she is technically a pool. So
Right,
it's like,
but she has an E on the end of hers. Her last name's Poole.
okay.
Like sure, her name is Gwyneth Poole.
Yeah.
Now I also like wasn't really thinking about that version of that character, so
Yeah.
I didn't really look, but also like there were a lot of them. Like a lot of them. I was just like, Jesus Christ, they like deep dived into like a bunch of the mini series and picked up like all kinds of like random Deadpools for this. It was crazy. It's a lot of violence, obviously. There's really not a lot of sex. There's a lot of sex jokes. Especially between Hugh and
Deadpool,
yeah.
yeah.
So, but it's very well done. I thought it was good.
So this
There
is going to be
are
the first
now.
successful Marvel movie in how long has it been?
Oh,
4 years?
it'll be the most successful one since probably the last Spider-Man movie. But like I don't know. Like I just wanted a little more plot to it. That's all.
Yeah,
But
yeah.
overall it was fun. It was good. I enjoyed myself. I laughed out loud a couple times. And then there were some scenes where I was like, "Holy shit, that's awesome." They like they mention the Punisher a bunch of times,
Oh,
but they
yeah.
never but then they make the joke of which one. Like, because there's been like seven. I'm just like, that's hilarious.
jeez.
So, but yeah, there's some good funny moments. There's a lot of fourth wall breaks. That something I found out recently though was that the script was unchanged because they couldn't have him ad lib because of the writer's strike.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so even though he's credited as a writer, he couldn't ad lib during the filming because of the writer's strike and the restrictions that came along with that.
Jeez.
So, yeah, I mean it's good. There were a couple guys that I was hoping to see come back that did not. Like Domino is not in it at all, which I was
Huh.
really hoping for. Yeah. Zeitgeist not in there. But like the ridiculousness of how much this was almost more of a Wolverine movie than it was a Deadpool movie. Like it was a very good like salute to all those guys, right? Like to all the Fox era stuff. And they even like there were even talks about hold on. I can't repeat that. Don't look at the chat because you haven't seen it yet. That's a spoiler.
Okay.
No spoilers. So that's actually a very funny moment though. That was one of the moments I laughed out loud at. Like it, don't know. It's got a lot of fun moments. It's got a lot of semi-serious moments because like, and it doesn't fuck with the Logan storyline, right?
Okay.
Like it keeps all of that stuff together. Like this Wolverine is a variant Wolverine than what we've seen in the old Fox stuff.
Okay. Yeah,
Just
I
so you
figured
know,
as much.
it's not the exact same Wolverine. It, you know.
Okay.
But they're like the opening scene though, it's just fucking ridiculous. Like 'cause like oh, I guess I would have to count Skeleton Wolverine as one of the Wolverines, just so you know.
So you
So
see that the silver skeleton, huh?
yeah.
Nice.
Oh dude, they do homages to fucking like issue covers. They mention like they drop creator names in the fourth wall breaks. Like
Nice.
it's real good. There's a real good one. There's a really iconic cover with Wolverine on it that they homage as a scene in this movie, and it is actually there's two of them. There's the one with him in Deadpool that's like $150 now. You know what I'm talking about? Like
Oh,
the one that's like
the
very
holding
like
them up.
blocky color. Yeah, where he's got him in like the swords, right?
Yes.
And then there's an X-Men cover that is an iconic Wolverine cover that they do an homage to it. I'm not even kidding. I almost stood up and clapped when I saw it. But I was like, I can't do that. There's other people in here. Shit. But it, like I said, I had fun. I just wanted a little bit more plot. I don't think that this movie necessarily resets the Marvel universe with the Fox guys in it or anything like that, because it didn't really do that.
Yeah.
But so there is a mid-credit sort of scene where it's
Yeah.
like outtakes from the 90s or from all the Fox films.
Okay.
So mostly with Hugh Jackman in it.
Okay.
And like there's one scene where he's like dancing with Famke Jensen, like
Wow.
and they kind of give a little more credence to all that. Like they have like Fantastic Four, Fantastic Four 2, they have all kinds of those. All the Fox movies are kind of touched on in there. And then the very very last end credit scene is just it's just funny. But there's no real mid credit, so if you have to pee and you come back, you're only gonna miss, like, if you're gonna come back in for the end credit scene, you're only gonna miss the like the little review footage stuff. But it is
Okay.
it there like it is very funny, it is very violent.
Oh,
Like
I should. I should ask. There was one key actor that I'm wondering made an appearance in the movie. Is Fred Savage in this movie?
Not that I saw him.
Oh, that's disappointing.
I know, I was really hoping for them to do the Princess Bride thing again. But no,
It's
they do
like
not.
Wolverine's on the other side where they both
Yeah.
tag team on them.
That'd be really funny, but no.
Yeah. That might be
But
for the
they're,
DVD coming out. I
but
might do
I
it.
mean, like, you, like, listen. I can't wait to see Draco at Cosplay Karaoke and have him just lose his mind on how many different costumes he's gonna have to buy now. Like,
Jesus.
understand that's
That's how bad.
like I'm just like, holy fuck, Justin's gonna shit his pants when he sees all these Wolverines in here. Like, and like very specific ones. I'm like, oh
And be
man,
like,
like,
I know exactly where all these are
okay,
from.
listen, I'm gonna do one semi-spoiler of a variant just because it's fucking hilarious. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So one of the Wolverines he finds, like, he starts talking to him and he gets out of the stool and he's really short. He's like, it's comic accurate Wolverine. And it's like
Oh,
they like CGI him into like a 5'2" version of
oh,
him.
God.
Like, it is fucking hilarious. He's like, this ain't gonna work, and he just leaves.
No. Just what everybody was asking for.
Right, we
Well,
finally got it.
Chip will be happy because that was his biggest gripe about Hugh Jackman. He's like, I don't want no 6 foot Wolverine. I want my Wolverine to be comic accurate. He's got to be 5'2", you know?
it's fucking hilarious though, because like you can tell it's just Hugh Jackman being CGI'd down to 5'2", and the
Wow.
fact that he calls him comic accurate Wolverine, like, but he's not in the suit, he's just like in
Oh.
regular clothes, right?
Oh. Okay.
But like
Still
they
though,
like
still
yeah
good.
but there's cameos of characters that have never been in the live action universe.
Huh.
Like there's some that have now appeared in like X-Men and X-Men 97 that are not in the they were never in the Fox stuff. Like, I was just like, holy shit, I can't believe that character's in here.
Well,
And
again,
some of them go
Fox only
without
had
being named.
control of certain X-Men. They didn't have
Yeah.
access to every X-Men character. That's why they were
Right.
so limited in certain, aspects.
I will
So.
also say though, Cassandra as the villain really worked. Well, she's like a villain. There's multiple villains in this. But she's one of them, and she is like, it's like almost like if Scarlet Witch would have really been terrifying. Like, that's how Cassandra is.
Yeah, instead
Like,
of
where she
feeling
gives zero
sympathy,
fucks and she is just like, I'm gonna kill you. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna put my hand into your brain and I'm gonna like fling it around and look through all your memories. And it's just nuts. It's nuts. They even
well,
do callbacks. They do callbacks to very specific storylines that they never talked about in the Fox era stuff. They are from comics. It's great. Like the but like the Deadpool core guys, man, when you see some of them, you're just gonna be like, holy fuck, they really did deep dive for that guy.
yeah.
So I'm just a little sad we didn't get a lot of Shatterstar. We don't get a lot of Negasonic Teenage Warhead, like the guys from the first, we only get like a minute of Colossus. Like, I think he only has like one line.
Yeah.
And he talks about watching like the Great British Bake Off or some shit like that. Like, it's really funny. So, but yeah, so that's I didn't really spoil anything. Like I definitely didn't spoil important parts. And some of the important cameos, but holy balls, dude. You need to like let me know
Oh,
what you think about it after you see it.
I will. I might call
But
you after we're done and
well,
be
I'm
like,
gonna be
yeah, we
busy,
just got
like
done soon.
I'm gonna be busy like all fucking weekend. I'm out of five though. because I thought it was a little cameo heavy and a little cameo heavy and not enough plot, I'm giving it like a 3.75 out of 5.
Okay.
But
So almost a four, but not quite.
that's specifically because I'm like, the cameos kind of take away from what plot they have, and the plot they have isn't really super strong.
Okay.
So, but that's why I think I gave the same thing to the last Spider-Man movie for the same reasons. So, but I enjoyed this one a little bit better because Hugh Jackman and Ryan Reynolds like just ripping on each other the whole time,
Oh, I'm sure.
like the fact that they make jokes. He makes jokes about actual Hugh Jackman. Like when he talks about Wolverine, like they make a joke about where he's like, he could sing the whole second act of The Music Man without even having a prompt. Like, I was just like, oh. And like,
God.
he even makes fun of himself as Ryan Reynolds
Oh, I'm
as
sure.
Deadpool, though. Like he
Well, he
makes
made
like a
fun of
joke.
himself for being Green Lantern, so you know.
Yeah, but he makes like a joke where he says something like, just don't tell Blake or something like that. Like, I was like, what the fuck? Yeah,
Wow.
or like Blake's gonna be really jealous or something. Like, it was really
Oh,
funny.
jeez.
So, but if you look on IMDb, you can actually see who Lady Deadpool is.
I think it's supposed to be his wife as well.
But it's only like she only has like one line in the whole movie. But it is very, very good. So, all right. Well, that's about it for us tonight. Thanks for watching. Hope you had fun. We'll see you next week.
Yep.
Go out and see Deadpool and Wolverine. If you're gonna buy books, go support your local shop. If it's one of our shops, even better, but doesn't have to be. It's all good. We are equal
True.
opportunity supporters. Yeah. So have fun, guys, and we will catch you next week.